Hey, Sean, how you going?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Alex. It's always a bit of a pleasure to be on this side of the desk. Always, it's a nice change, you know?
Yeah, I feel like you're probably spinning because you're not in control. I've got to look after your levels and everything. That must feel weird. So you've just come back from the States on a holiday. What's it like over there at the moment?
Look, I must admit, while I was in the States, travelling around the States, I tried to ignore the news as much as possible. It was a holiday for that sense as much as anything else. But I was struck, and I will admit I was in mostly fairly liberal-leaning areas like New York and San Francisco.
Yeah.
So they were liberal-leaning areas, but I was quite struck at the attitude that kind of pertains to Donald Trump right now. He really isn't, and I've been there during the eras of previous presidents, I should say. He really isn't seen as the leader, even in the sense that Scott Morrison, not particularly well liked amongst a lot of people, but even in the sense he's seen as the leader of the country, he really is seen almost as a bit of a cartoon character. I was really struck by this because, as I say, I've been there during previous presidencies and I'm an observer of politics. I quite enjoy looking at American politics, but I was really struck this time. You go into like a souvenir store and you've got this fairly, might I say, vicious anti-Trump kind of toys and figurines and stuff being sold right alongside Make America Great Again hats and t-shirts.
Jesus.
I mean, a lot of some people have called the Make America Great Again hat like the modern Ku Klux Klan hood. But it was very obvious looking at this that this is like, oh, this is a joke. This is something you could wear almost like, you know, to a costume party, the way these things were being sold. And I don't mean to sort of downplay the very seriousness of what Donald Trump does and his role on the world stage, but it was very clear to me that a lot of Americans, besides the fact I saw a great deal of anti-Trump sort of posters and some fairly offensive stuff posted up in people's windows and the like, and, you know, Make America Think Again posters in some of these areas. But at the same time, it was quite obvious they are very used to Trump. He has been normalized in a sense, but not as a leader, more as just a cartoon figurehead of the country right now.
Yeah, interesting. So let's get to the headlines. First of all, what's new with the Mueller situation?
Well, actually, it's interesting with the Mueller situation. I think a lot is being made of Mueller testifying before the before the House. You know, they're talking about the Democrats sort of sharpening their wits, sharpening their questions ahead of the Mueller interview. To be honest, I don't think there's actually a lot in this. I think this will be a great deal of fire and fury, a great deal of smoke, a great deal of thunder. Nothing will come of this. Robert Mueller has made it very, very clear that all he has to say is in the Mueller report. If people want to know what Robert Mueller has to say, read the Mueller report. And the sad truth is a lot of people aren't. A lot of people in the media aren't reading the Mueller report. A lot of people in politics. Republicans have been proud to say they have not read the Mueller report. The simple fact is Robert Mueller is a solid investigator. He is, you wouldn't expect a police officer to investigate a crime, come to his conclusion, hand that conclusion on to the lawyers, and then continue to campaign for the person he's put forward's guilt.
Yeah.
That is not the role of a police officer. That is the role of the court system. He is the police officer in this situation. He has handed in his report. It is up to the court system, the legal system, to take that report onwards in terms of charging crimes and determining guilt.
And you mentioned that a lot of people aren't reading the report. Why is that?
Intellectual laziness. look, maybe, you know, there was so much made of the Mueller report for so long that really, you know, you build it up. There was only so much you could deliver on in the final sense because, again, this man is an investigator, a police officer. He's not there to campaign for somebody's guilt or innocence. So, you know, people didn't get the easy answers, perhaps, that they wanted out of the Mueller report. They're not willing to search and hunt for those answers after so long, so therefore it kind of it fizzled almost in some people's imaginations after being built to such a ridiculous standard.
Yeah. And I heard a theory, we're going to get on to the more pressing headlines in a second, but I heard a theory recently that the way that Trump kind of plays his politics is he causes some big stir on social media and it kind of distracts people from something serious that's going on. Do you think that could be the case here?
That is most definitely the case. I mean, if you're talking about some of the latest headlines and some of the, do I need to call them accusations of of racism. You know, that is most certainly the case. Donald Trump makes a big fuss. The media still hasn't, and I'll say this, I am guilty of this as anyone in the media. The media hasn't come up with a way of handling Trump. Mm. They have not come up with a way of handling somebody who is so blatantly shameless that they are willing to put themselves out there with this ridiculous statement, this lie that is so incredibly easily provable as a lie, just to draw attention to themselves. And, you know, I think there's a lot of pathological reasons you can get into why Trump actually draws attention to himself in this way. But certainly strategically, in a very canny way, most certainly he draws attention to himself to avoid scrutiny and for Republicans to avoid scrutiny on some of the things that are going on in the background. He makes a huge, big, sweeping statement that captures everybody's imagination, everybody's attention. We haven't come up with a way of actually ignoring him, when he needs to be ignored.
Yeah. Now, speaking of big distractions, he sent out a tweet very recently, another racist tweet, if I can put that in quotation marks, about Congresswoman. Could you kind of elaborate on that a bit more?
Look, Trump is a racist. His supporters, the people at his rallies, are a racist. There's no question about this anymore. There's no point in questioning it. And anybody who's willing to continue to vote Republican and the Republicans continuing to serve in the Congress and Senate, if they're not racist themselves, they're very willing to tolerate racism. This isn't worth arguing about anymore. He is a racist. He does racist things, believes racist things. Mm. The latest tweet you mentioned, of course, he's turned around and these were, of course, these attacks on these
the squad,
they're being called now. These Democratic Congresswomen, Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, probably most famously because she's the only one that was actually not born in America, was Omar.
But she moved when she was 12.
Yeah, she moved very, very young. Yeah. They're being told to get back to where they came from. If you don't love it, go back to where you came from, despite the fact, as I say, three of the four were born in America anyway, so it's ludicrous. They're just not white. So, you know, if they're not white, then therefore they don't belong, is the thinking of Trump and his racist followers. Look, as you say, this morning he's turned around with another tweet saying, look, the squad, these four congresswomen, they are the racists.
Yeah.
They're young and inexperienced. I mean, Trump was very, very inexperienced himself coming into politics. It's ludicrous to say. This is a very standard technique of Trump. He takes things that he himself is guilty of, he's criticised of, and he says, no, that's my opponent. My opponent is the racist. My opponent is the inexperienced. You mentioned actually off air, you know, very famously, Hillary Clinton called him a puppet, and he said, no, Clinton is the puppet. That is a very obvious technique of Trump's, is anytime he's accused of something, he turns around and accuses his opponent. And in this situation, no matter how little sense it makes. And obviously, in this situation, nothing they've done can be called racist. You can definitely call them young and inexperienced. I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily, especially in the fresh perspective. Ocasio-Cortez is one of the smartest political operators I have seen in a long, long time. Like in any world, she is just as a political operator. Never mind her policies. I won't even talk about her policies. As an operator, one of the smartest operators I've seen in a long time. And that's the reason she's capturing so many headlines.
Yeah, which is funny because in Trump's tweet, he said that they all have low IQs.
Yeah. So. Well, again, something he is very touchy about, that he accuses his opponents of being guilty of instead. This is a very, very classic Trump. And in a sense, like I'm here discussing it with you. I'm giving it more airtime.
Yeah.
But in the sense, it is something that should just be ignored. It's more smoke. It's ignoring the bigger issues.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, just really quickly, last question about the Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan. He met with Trump yesterday. What's the significance of that? You're laughing. Why
are
you laughing?
Yeah. Look, I mean, Trump is he wants to be a mediator. He has said going into this one with the Pakistani Prime Minister that he wants to be a mediator in these situations, and in a sense he is, but he's not a terribly good one because he he comes in and he is very willing to capitulate. It's a standard thing of Trump's that he listens to the last person that had his ear. And a lot of his aides have said this, and a lot of people have said this. He will agree with everything as long as somebody kind of has his ear in the right sense. If they're willing to flatter him, if they're willing to do this, do that, he will sort of kind of agree with everything you're saying. So in the sense, that's great for Pakistan. They probably get a whole bunch of agreements on the table in this negotiation with Trump. I kind of do laugh because he came into this with this ludicrous statement of, oh, I could win Afghanistan in 10 days. I just don't want to murder millions of people, you know. And that's classic Trump as well. You know, like he has all the answers. But lately, you know, he's been backing down, I think, from warlike demeanor. He's not real sure whether it's going to win him more votes or not coming into 2020.
Yeah, of course.
But so it should really, this will be an interesting negotiation to have. I think it will actually, I think it will settle a great deal of the relationship between the US and Pakistan.
Yeah. Sean, I'm sorry, that's all we've got time for. But thank you so much for joining us this morning.